I'm Steve Clark with Dr. Art Evans, entomologist, and this is What's Bugging You.
We're joined today by Dr. John Cooley. Tell us how you got interested in cicadas.
I grew up in Kansas City, and we had an awful lot of cicadas there every summer. And as a kid, I just liked going out in the front yard and watching them and playing with them and see what they did.
How did you turn it into the research project that you're involved with today?
When I was in graduate school, I realized that there was an awful lot about them that we just didn't know. My graduate school roommate and I decided to go down and have a look at the periodical cicadas that were coming out in Virginia back in 1995. That was Brood 1.
Okay.
So for you folks in Virginia, that's the one that came out last year over in the Shenandoah Valley.
And what did you find?
The most remarkable thing was right off the bat, we found something that wasn't in any of the literature about periodical cicadas. Females also make signals.
Really?
Now, cicadas are famous for the loud male sounds, but nobody really understood what the females did. What they do is they signal back.
How did you find that out?
We separated the cicadas by sex, and I think it was Dave who spotted this, that every time a male would call, a female would twitch her wings, and that was the signal.
You've developed this website. It seems to me there's a solid component there that involves citizen science.
Actually, it has from the very beginning, and that's the origins of the website. Back in graduate school, the phone would ring off the hook when people would call in wanting more information about periodical cicadas. We decided, hey, we'll set up a website, and maybe that'll mean we won't have to answer the phone so much. What we've done now with the website is we're soliciting citizen scientists to send us reports, because over the years, our interests in these insects have changed a little bit, and one of the things that we've really wanted to do is update the emergence maps of periodical cicadas. The maps that we've been working from really date from the 19th century. The criteria used to make them are unclear. We need to update those maps, and we're doing it by going out ourselves and by getting help from the public.
Well, how does the public contribute to your research?
Those very earliest maps were made by people in the Department of Agriculture, sending out postcards to county extension agents, and the extension agents would send reports back into Washington, and other people would send reports in as well, and these would be compiled into maps. We really have just updated that, and what we're asking people to do is if they spot periodical cicadas, to go into the website and tell us where they saw them. And then that shows up in a map. We can take a look at that and decide where to concentrate our efforts.
What can our listeners contribute to your research? What specific areas do you hope to get information from?
The different broods fit together an awful lot like puzzle pieces. The question is that just the way those old maps were made, or is that actually how the broods fit together? So we're especially interested in the edges. And if you look at Brood 2, it shares a lot of edge with other broods.
Do you expect to see much activity, say, in the Richmond area or east of I-95?
I think it's fair to say that there will be some. One of the things that's going to be happening between Richmond and Washington is somehow Brood 2 gets around or jumps over Brood 10, a brood that's known to be right in Washington, D.C., right in the metro area. So somehow there's a very complicated boundary that it shares with Brood 2. We don't know how that works.
Well, I look forward to directing our listeners to contribute to your research. How about joining us again next week?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Excellent.
You can learn more about the cicadas and hear part one of Art's extended interview with John Cooley at ideastations.org/cicadawatch.